The bottom line. The Marxist Utopia, 2030. You might ask why a Christian writer, blogger, pastor, or evangelist would choose to write about Marxism. I am doing it because many people do not fully understand the aims, techniques, methods, goals, and end results of Marxism, communism, or any of the precursor or variant ideologies, such as socialism. I am doing it because many people are woefully unaware of the global rise of Marxism, which is imprisoning nation after nation into its deadly snare. I am doing it because Marxism and its variants are the sworn mortal enemy of Christianity and every Christian on earth. Communism, at last count, has murdered over 259 million people since 1900, in its quest to save the world. Marxism is the antithesis of everything honest, fair, decent, and right. Marxism is evil incarnate. Please read these quotes by the fathers of communism, Marxism, and Leninism to make this point. Take away a nation's heritage, and they are more easily persuaded, historical landmarks torn down, religious symbolism destroyed, rewriting of history. Communism begins where atheism begins. Church attendance is falling to dramatic lows. Over 50% of those attending church don't believe the Bible is true or that Jesus was born of a virgin, and more. The education of all children, from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care, shall be in state institutions. Government control of education, no child left behind, critical race theory taught at all levels of schools, National Association of Teachers, Marxists in Nature, Federal Education Department. We have no compassion, and we ask no compassion from you. When our turn comes, we shall not make excuses for the terror. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, burning down our cities, killing people, defund police movement, murder in our streets, schools, and churches, and the left blames the gun. The meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. This is the rally cry of the American Democrat Party. If you can cut the people off from their history, then they can be easily persuaded. Revision of textbooks, historical data, historical sites. The democratic concept of man is false, because it is Christian. The democratic concept holds that each man is a sovereign being. This is the illusion, dream, and postulate of Christianity. Paganism taught in schools, government, and many churches. There are, besides, eternal truths, such as freedom, etc., that are common to all states of society. But communism abolishes eternal truths, it abolishes all religion, and all morality, instead of constituting them on a new basis, it therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience. The theory of communism may be summed up in one sentence: abolish all private property. When the sufferers learn to think, then the thinkers will learn to suffer. The communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things. They openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. The last capitalist we hang shall be the one who sold us the rope. A heavy or progressive or graduated income tax is necessary for the proper development of communism. The first requisite for the happiness of the people is the abolition of religion. The unity is brought about by force. From each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. There is no greater stupidity than for people to marry and so surrender themselves to the small miseries of domestic and private life. Taxes are the source of life for the bureaucracy, the army, and the court, in short, for the whole apparatus of the executive power. Strong government and heavy taxes are identical. The foregoing are quotes by Karl Marx, one of the founding fathers of communism and the namesake of Marxism. Now, please read these quotes by Lenin. Give me your four-year-olds, and in a generation I will build a socialist state. We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us. The press should be not only a collective propagandist and a collective agitator, but also a collective organizer of the masses. The goal of socialism is communism. Why should freedom of speech and freedom of press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes to be right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons. Ideas are much more fatal things than guns. Why should any man be allowed to buy a printing press and disseminate pernicious opinions calculated to embarrass the government? The way to crush the bourgeoisie is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. People always have been, and they always will be, stupid victims of deceit and self-deception in politics. Give me just one generation of youth, and I'll transform the whole world. One man with a gun can control 100 without one. As an ultimate objective, peace simply means communist world control. Atheism is a natural and inseparable part of Marxism, of the theory and practice of scientific socialism. Our program necessarily includes the propaganda of atheism. It is, of course, much easier to shout, abuse, and howl than to attempt to relate, to explain. Medicine is the keystone of the arch of socialism. One of the basic conditions for the victory of socialism is the arming of the workers communist and the disarming of the bourgeoisie to the middle class. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. Give us the child for 8 years, and it will be a Bolshevik forever. There are no morals in politics, there is only expedience. A scoundrel may be of use to us just because he is a scoundrel. We are not shooting enough professors. Germany will militarize herself out of existence, England will expand herself out of existence, and America will spend herself out of existence. It is necessary, secretly and urgently, to prepare the terror. The establishment of a central bank is 90% of communizing a nation. We want to achieve a new and better order of society. In this new and better society there must be neither rich nor poor, all will have to work. Not a handful of rich people, but all the working people must enjoy the fruits of their common labor. Machines and other improvements must serve to ease the work of all, and not to enable a few to grow rich at the expense of millions and tens of millions of people. This is the new and better society, and it is called a socialist society. There can be nothing more abominable than religion. The foregoing are quotes by Vladimir Lenin, founder of communist Leninism. Many academics and highly regarded politicians proffered that communism was dying and would indeed be dead by the end of the 20th century. Now, in the 21st century, communist Marxism has risen from its preordained grave to disprove the obituaries, and has defiantly announced that it will have attained its long-standing goals by the year 2030, hence the U.N.E.S.C.O.'s Agenda 2030. One such ominous and brash announcement was made by the first Director General of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, Julian Huxley, in 1946, the task before UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, a specialized agency of the United Nations claiming to be aimed at promoting world peace and security through international cooperation in education, arts, sciences and culture. Huxley bragged, "UNESCO is the emergence of a single world culture by transferring full sovereignty from separate nations to a world organization. That the new world order will be a socialist, authoritarian global government and court with global rule of law and a one-world economy. The recommendations of the Commission on Global Governance, if implemented, will bring all the people of the world into a global neighborhood managed by a worldwide bureaucracy, under the direct authority of a minute handful of appointed individuals, and policed by thousands of individuals, paid by accredited NGOs, certified to support a belief system which contains ideas that are foreign to the American experience, and ignores other values and ideas that are precious to the American experience." On their surface, these lofty-sounding goals seem irresistible. But they will neither be what they seem, nor will the methods used to implement these goals nor the end results be what anyone expects. Nonetheless, these Marxist globalists are so certain and emboldened by their victories that these United Nations entities, with the complicity and support of the World Economic Forum, have published numerous intermediate documents parading their success and outlining their final goals. Please click on the next audio file to complete this article.